The hour of 9 a.m. having arrived, I'm going to call to order Government Operations Reform, Technology, and Elections. I want to first of all recognize we have a page in the interim. Tess Winchesky is here, and she has helped set up today and will be paging for today. This is Representative Winchesky's daughter, so thank you, Tess, for helping us today. With that, we have a couple of things, and the first, we have been waiting for the Government Relations Group to do their recommendations on committee structure, and I think you have that in your packet. So do we have someone from Government Relations that wishes to come down? I believe the document is the recommendation from MGRC for Legislative Process, Committee Structure, and Procedure. So welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Eric Hyland. With the law firm of Ezra Wayne Kramer, I am also serve on the board of the Minnesota Government Relations Council and serve as co-chair of the Legislative Committee. As you can see, we did put some very broad suggestions, guidelines for this committee's consideration. I'd like to start out by saying, obviously, with any large organization, we have a large divergent number of views on procedures and rules and whatnot, but I think this document kind of boils down to a couple fundamental issues that I think you'll see are consistent throughout the document. One is simple, adequate public notice. I think that is something that everybody can agree on. Those of us that are here at the Capitol every day have a much easier time of knowing what's going on, obviously. But those folks in our profession who have other duties, who may not be able to be here 24/7 like some of us are, do need to feel that there could be some areas of improvement for public notice. And of course, if you're just simply a person in the public interested in this process, I think it becomes even harder. Just as a way of background, and I come at this from a fairly interesting perspective. I have been with Ezra Wayne Kramer for 12 years, but the 10 years prior to that, I served as the committee administrator for the Senate Finance Committee. And so I spent 10 years on staff, and have seen the types of improvements, quite frankly, that have occurred over the last 20 years. When I first started in the Senate, all the notices were on paper. They were sent in interoffice mail. The public had very little access. Amendments were copied on the day of bills. You had to go get the copies of the bills in Senate or House offices. And so I think there should be an acknowledgement of the vast improvement that has occurred over the last 20 years, primarily because of technology, and I think the public has a much easier time of accessing what is going on at the Capitol compared to even 10 or 15 years ago. Specifically with committee structures and procedures, obviously it would be, there's a fairly broad consensus that limiting the amount of jurisdictional overlap among committees is a key issue. I happen to believe that making or passing a law shouldn't be a real easy process. The system doesn't necessarily favor efficiencies, but you certainly shouldn't have committees that have similar jurisdictions taking up bills at the same time. Coordination with the Senate and the House, I'm sensitive to this issue. EIF is an independent body. I'm aware of the political nature of why committees are chosen and why the number of committees are chosen. So that's an area that obviously will defer to both bodies and their organizational committees. However, I do think it makes some sense to have some coordination between the House and the Senate on specific policy areas. And when those committees are formed, that both the Senate and the House try to coordinate in such a way that, for example, the House Environment Committee is not meeting at 8 o'clock on the same morning as the Senate Environment Committee. And I think those are some areas that can be done fairly simple. In terms of bill introductions, as you'll notice here, there is a recommendation that we would recommend that there be a certain timeline that if you feel like you want to introduce a bill, that there needs to be a specific timeline in advance before that bill gets a hearing. You know, we're all familiar with the hearing notices that say House file or Senate file XXXX, and that becomes fairly problematic. Especially towards the end of the legislative session. I think the rest of this stuff is fairly self-explanatory. the issue of the public notice, obviously, and you heard Mr. Anthonson talk at your last meeting about this, and I think we would generally be in support of much of what he said as well. I would like to mention just a little bit on, in terms of conference committees. Again, this becomes more of an issue of public notice. We believe that conference committees should meet in public, and that sufficient public notice of meetings and agendas prior to those committee hearings would I think advance the whole purpose of public notice and transparency. I guess at that point I'd like to close my comments and certainly sit here and take any questions that you folks might have.
Questions from the committee? No questions. Yeah. Representative Peterson.
Have you looked at the other packet of information that we've put together that we're looking at today?
I have not
Mr.
looked
Hyatt.
At that yet.
Okay. So my question would then be, how do your recommendations fit in or dovetail with what we're going to try to do today?
Sure. And we will do that. We will take a look at the committee's recommendations and see if we can't come up with them.
Yeah, the draft that's in your packet, members, was sent to all media and anyone else who had contacted us over the last year. So they should have it in a digital form. Of course, is it posted on our site yet? It might not be posted yet, but it has been sent out.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants it. But I would hope that I have a feeling they will respond to certain sections of the draft.
A couple of them do tie in it.
Yes, many of them do. Any other questions, members? No other questions? Mr. Hyland?
Thank you.
Thank you. Members, the next order of business is to take a look at the draft. And you have in your packet, you should have been emailed also this document a couple of days ago. I'm going to just go over the first page. The first page lists the hearings that we had, the dates, and the topics that were covered. This will be attached to whatever our final document is so that we have a record of the hearings of this committee. And then you notice the content. From this point, I'd like to have Mr. Shepherd just walk through it. Now, I want to thank Mr. Shepherd and Mr. McCormick in particular for the document. Mr. Shepherd is the primary author of it, but all of the various groups that testified contributed to the draft. We tried to incorporate anything that members had wanted us to take a look at. So you will note that in a couple of places you actually see contradictions. Some people wanted to go one way, some another way. I don't have a problem with actually leaving contradictions in the document that we would be able to take a look at after the election to find out how the body would like to go. But that's up to you. So first of all, to thank Mr. Shepherd for all of his work. This has taken a considerable amount of time, and also Mr. Malander. There have been a few hours in my office going back and forth on this draft and trying to make sure we got everything everyone wanted to do, and if we left anything out, we can incorporate it today. So with that, Mr. Shepherd, you want to just do a quick walkthrough of what this document contains?
Certainly. Mr. Chairman, members, good morning.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kahn.
Do you want to do the full walkthrough before there are any comments on any individual parts?
Representative, I think let's do a walkthrough first, and then let's go back after the walkthrough. And the reason why, Mr. Hyland already said he didn't have a chance to take a look at it, I would guess that a lot of folks haven't taken a look at it yet. So just to see what's in it first, and then we'll go back and we'll suggestions, deletions, additions, whatever you wish to do. Mr. Shepherd.
Mr. Chair, and I'll go through this at a really high level, just kind of pointing it out in a few minutes here at the beginning, assuming people will be going back to this in more detail. This is, in its major outline, organized the same way as your committee meetings were. So the first part of the document deals with committee structure and procedures, the next part with floor procedures, and then the final part with conference committee, and then there's a miscellaneous section at the end with things that either dealt with the whole process or that didn't fit in nicely to everything else. So page 3 starts with the committee structures, and the first set of recommendations have to do with cooperation between House and Senate committees. Some of these reflect some of the comments that Mr. Hyland made a few minutes ago. The next major subgroup of recommendations has to do with the number of committees and the membership and the jurisdiction of the committees. those are recommendations, C4 through C8. And I tried to just identify these with letters in front of them, with C for committee and F for floor, just so you'd have something to refer to. On page 4, the subheading there is dealing with bill introductions, and recommendations C9 through C11 deal with the number of issues relating to bill introductions. On page 5, the next group of recommendations deals with referral and re-referral of bills to committees. It has things such as mechanisms under which bills could be considered simultaneously by multiple committees, or other ways of reducing re-referrals or clarifying the standards for re-referrals or the sequence of re-referrals. That goes over to page 6, which deals with the topic of committee scheduling and agendas. Some of the recommendations there are concepts including allowing members to designate priority bills which would need to be heard by committees, things dealing with notice of committee meetings, what starting committee meetings promptly, making amendments that are going to be offered in committee available to the public, following the committee agenda, and as Mr. Hyland mentioned earlier this morning, making sure bills are introduced before they're scheduled for hearing. The last category under the committee section is a collection of other issues relating to the work of committees. One recommendation is sort of a generic statement that committees should do most of the work on bills. There's a recommendation dealing with budget bills and what language should be included in omnibus budget bills. Another recommendation dealing with germaneness, and finally with finance and the tax committee having fiscal or revenue notes. Mr. Chair, the next major group of recommendations has to do with floor procedures. These begin on page 10, and the first, these are divided into things that have to do with considering amendments and then things that can have to do with considering bills. On page 10 starts the material dealing with amendments, and it has to do, the first set of recommendations deal either with germaneness or different types of amendments that would be in order or out of order, including, you'll see recommendation F3A and 3B, as the chair noted. This is an example where the recommendations conflict with each other. One says that they're opposites, and so it's intended for whoever is considering this would have to choose one or the other. There's recommendations dealing with pre-filing of amendment for potentially controlling amendments or controlling the time debated on amendments, for dealing with amendments that deal with the budget bills, and with limiting amendments that have major substance on the House floor. Page 12 begins the material dealing with consideration of bills. The first recommendation has to do with a general orders calendar. I'll just point out that in your folder, Representative Olson distributed a separate list of his suggestions, and I've attempted, and I think I have, incorporated all of those into this main document. So this recommendation, F10, is something that he had suggested regarding the general orders calendar. F11, taking up bills in the order stated on a published calendar. Other recommendations dealing with limits on debate of bills, or notice of motions and use of motions for the previous question. The next major subtopic beginning on page 14 is just a miscellaneous other issues relating to floor sessions, things like not being able to waive the meeting, the rule that forbids meeting after midnight, general topics relating to scheduling of floor sessions in relation to committees. Recommendation F18 is a suggestion of Representative Olson's about floor votes addressing the constitutionality of bills. F19 about members speaking more than twice on a subject. And other miscellaneous recommendations relating to the floor. But page 16 begins the material on conference committees. All of these recommendations would involve changes to the joint rules, and so I didn't draft proposed House rule language for any of these. And there are a whole variety of recommendations about conference committees. Some of the topics included are what material conference committees can include in a report, what kind of notice and public testimony is required for conference committee meetings and conference committee reports, and some suggestions that would tend to cut down on the use of conference committees generally. On the end of session recommendations on page 17, there's a recommendation dealing with a deadline for acting on bills that would be further in advance of the constitutional deadline for adjournment. A recommendation relating to key decisions, how key decisions should be made at the end of session, and a recommendation relating to targets for budget committees. Mr. Chair, the last collection of issues begins on R18 and is just titled Other. The first major subheading there has to do with public access and participation, and the first recommendation is just a general suggestion that's been made by several people that a primary consideration in establishing rules and procedures should be making the whole process easier for the public to follow. There are some other issues listed there about public access and participation. There were a number of suggestions that I've collected on the bottom of page 18 that related to the fiscal year. Some of these would involve changes to the budget process that would have to be made in statute, but they certainly would affect the legislative process, and so those are all collected here. And on page, beginning on page 19, schedules, organization, and other issues includes the suggestion that has been made by NCSL about organizational sessions immediately after an election, several issues relating to making the legislature more family-friendly or easier for members who have other jobs, either during session or interim, to participate in the process, the concept that of legislative leadership saying no at various points in the process as a way of speeding things along, several recommendations relating to deadlines, number S9, which former Senator and Judge Davies had suggested, amending the Constitution to repeal the 120 legislative day limit within the existing calendar framework in the Constitution. And finally, some recommendations about the House codifying more of its practices into rules and discouraging omnibus policy bills. Mr. Chair, that's a brief overview of what is here.
Mr. Shepard, thank you. Questions? Comments? Representative Peterson.
I think you answered my question, but I was just trying to track with you, for instance, on page 3. Under C6, you have 602, where now you're drafting a recommended change. And does that incorporate 4, 5, 6, and 7 and 8, or part of them, or how do you use discernment to decide what goes in there and what doesn't?
Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair and members, Representative Pawlowski had asked me where practical to suggest some rule changes just so people could see what these things would mean, you know, in reality. And the exact language of these changes, of course, is something that would have to be considered by the next legislature. This is one way of doing it. On that particular Rule 6.02, that one actually, I think, is trying to incorporate recommendation C6 about proportional representation on committees. Obviously, there would be many different ways you could set that up.
Mr. Chairman, it doesn't. In this particular instance, you're only dealing with recommendation C6.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need to jump in that 4 or 5 are in there.
Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair and members, that is correct. There are a couple of them where it was easier to do two recommendations in one. An example of that is on page 4, recommendation, at the very bottom of page 4, the change to rule 1.12 there actually takes in both recommendation C9 and C10. But I think almost all of these, other than that, just go to the recommendation immediately above it.
Okay.
I have comments on many of these. Should I just start on one page?
Proceed.
Okay, well, on recommendation C3, you fall short of the one that I suggested, and that which Mr. Hyland also indicated in his testimony, is that in order to do that, the committee should be scheduled at the same time. Like he said, the environment committee, he pointed out, the environment committees met at the same time. I don't know how many joint meetings that they had. So if the meetings with...
Well, sometimes I think you've got two issues here. You have an issue where the committees are meeting, two different committees are meeting simultaneously.
Yes.
And to me, this is a joint hearing, which means that the committees would meet together.
But the point is, if they are meeting at the same time, that's facilitating the ability to have a joint meeting, because the people are all scheduled at that time instead of having to find a new time to have a joint meeting. So it's a separate one.
Rev. Sam Khan, it might and it might not. If they're meeting at the same time, but they're meeting in the state office building in the Capitol and the Senate's meeting in one and the House in the other, they're not meeting together. They're meeting differently. And then you do have the dilemma, if you are bringing people in from Greater Minnesota to testify, you flip a coin which committee meeting they're going to end up in.
Well, we're also talking about, well, Mr. Chairman, that would be a perfect reason to have a joint meeting. And we would have room in this committee room right now for as many senators as were on the corresponding Senate committee. And it would mean that you'd have to have more conversation between committee chairs or committee staff for the scheduling, and I fail to see how that is anything except good.
I'm not in disagreement with you. I think if we're going to place an emphasis on that, it would be that we are encouraging joint meetings.
But the point is, if they're scheduled at vastly different times and there's no time open in the day, it's very difficult to find a time or a place for a joint meeting because of conflicts that are there. And if the two, now obviously, you know, you put the number of buzzwords, you know, we want the committees to be set up in the same structure, and if they meet at roughly the same time, it seems that at certain times, a joint meeting would be the way to go, and they can arrange to do that. At least it's possible for them to do it. I do remember when Jim Metzen and I chaired the corresponding GovOp committee, and we had a really important committee meeting on rules with a national speaker being brought in to speak about that. We could not find any time that there was an open space and that there weren't so many conflicts that the people we wanted involved would be involved in it.
Well, again, we can add
that's what I want.
Another sentence detail.
Well,
Mr. Shepard's taking notes so we can incorporate that.
Okay.
Representative Peterson.
Let's talk procedure if we could. I mean, it seems to me even on this page 3, I have a couple of them I just kind of discarded.
Mm-hmm.
In my own mind, I don't want to talk about them.
No.
And there's a couple that I think are really good. Are we as a committee going to pull this down to a recommended list? Because even as Representative Connor saying, we've got to get buy-in from the other body. So are we going to pull this list down?
Representative Peterson, you can move in that fashion. I don't see any problem with if we agree that the document as it exists now, even though some of us don't agree with everything, it should be in the possession of the body after the election as a guide. And that's all this is a guide. No one here is restructuring anything. We're just saying there have been problems. And we're now elucidating what those problems are and some possible solutions.
But Mr. Chairman,
Representative Peterson.
Yes. If we're going to bring the cows in the barn, we give them one bale of hay at a time. We don't give them the whole wagon load. And my concern is if you put so many things in front of them and they see five or six they don't particularly like, they begin to discard everything. And I'm just concerned that as a body, as a committee here, that we somehow cull this thing down to a recommended list so that we can keep the discussion focused on the main thing.
Representative Peterson, I agree, except we do have a problem. A change in one place almost always impacts several others. And if we're making one change, it is likely that it would necessitate changes somewhere else. I think it might be better for whoever's running this place after the election to take a look at the totality of what we looked at and then pick and choose. I anticipate they're not going to eat this whole document whole.
No.
What they'll do is take whatever suggestions the leadership is willing to live with, or the body would allow. There will be votes on rules. There will be a vote on the rules on the floor. And I anticipate that some suggestions might be made there, or they might be made by whoever's in the majority with the assistance of the minority. So we can. I have no preference here, other than we've looked at a rather large, comprehensive review. We understand that if we make one change, it impacts other areas. As I look around the table, I see individuals who during session have had, shall we say, problems with how session has been run. There are some possible solutions here. We will not be the ones here that will decide what those solutions will be. That's going to happen after the election. Leadership and whoever's running this place will make those decisions. So we can go either way. But we can add, delete, take, however you want to do it.
Mr. Chairman, I just would think that we as a body have spent enough hours on these things, we try to get it down to a workable cluster. Because right now all we've done is throw 18 pages of suggestions, some of them in conflict, and then we're not making a recommendation. And I'm a little confused by how that benefits the whole.
I have a list, so I'll just go down the list. Representative Wolfschlager.
Chair members, I'm certainly at a point, Representative Peterson, where I think I've heard enough, you know, and I strongly agree with, you know, stricter standards for public notice of committee agendas. And, you know, I could even go on record today saying, you know, I want to see conference committees done in a public way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, that's how I would bite off a piece of the elephant, so to speak, because I would start with that. And I think that's one thing that, you know, if I walked away from this committee and never came back, you know, that I made a statement on the fact that, you know, we certainly need more public notice. I'd like to see more public participation. You know, I could be happy with that, and I'll leave it at that.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Kahn, going back to your question, I don't understand why those don't propose getting rid of the Senate. Why aren't we talking about a unicameral? I mean, we're dancing around it. Why?
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, as was just pointed out, I was going to talk about that later when we got to bill introductions, but I actually support a unicameral, but only if it's a parliamentary unicameral. I've had that conversation when Ventura was governor, and so, well, I didn't think that the chair of this committee wanted to go that far in recommendations somehow.
I had to.
Thank you, Representative Hammer. Representative Kahn, you're next.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to go follow up Representative Peterson's analogy. You know, I don't know much about cows, but I know a lot about chickens, and chickens are so much smarter than cows that when you put as much food out as possible, they self-feed without any problem. And so I think I'd just like to say that the legislature is more analogous to chickens than to cows, and that you can put anything out in front of them and they can take what they want without overfeeding.
Representative Peterson.
Just as I can get corrected here, but typically we run the cows and we run the sheep behind the cows, and we run the pigs behind the sheep, and then the chickens come last, and they all feed on the same thing.
What? I didn't follow that.
I don't even serve on the egg committee. I don't know what's going on. Members, again, these are simply recommendations. And what the body takes, but in the years I've been here, we have never had a committee take a look at recommendations and then put them forward in a systematic way. And one thing, what Mr. Shepherd has done here with staff, there is at least a process here. And you can go through and pick and choose. what you want to do, with the understanding that if you make one significant change, it is likely to ripple in other ways, and sometimes very significant ways. So, members, suggestions, additions, deletions, Representative Tom.
Just going down the page. Okay, I'd like to get to Representative C6 of proportional representation on all committees and divisions. So the question, I don't think it's much of a problem with large majorities, but in a close majority, the issue comes, do you round up or do you round down to get that? And are you talking about all committees, like rules, or like finance, where you want to put all of the chairs of divisions on it, and then you're putting almost equal numbers of minority members on it, that starts to get a big and unwieldy committee, and that starts interfering with your other ones? And I've never underestimated the cleverness of the now minority leader former speaker, but there was some mathematical trick that Representative Seifert used when he had a close majority in committee membership to follow the rule of having proportional membership. I think we all agree that the majority, no matter how close it is, should have a majority on committee. I don't know if anyone disagrees with that. And so instead of a tradition that had existed in the House as long as I had seen, that we always had odd numbers on committees, he just changed the total committee number on each committee to be an even number. And then when you go to a proportionality for a close election and you still say the majority gets to have a majority and you round up, then the majority has to have two members. I don't know how many other people except me observed that happened in that session, but the problem is you better be careful what you're writing in rules in terms of what you mean. Mm-hmm. And do you really mean all committees? And do you really mean all committees?
Specific things or
what? I just think that it's... I just think that the existing words may be okay. I think trying to tighten it up. To tighten it up to be totally put in the must be proportional and so forth, and must appoint consistent with the numbers.
Well, members, suggestions can be given to us, too, after this committee hearing.
Okay.
So, and you can talk with Mr. Shepherd or Mr. McCormick about what those suggestions might be. But my guess is that, again, leadership or the majority and minority after the election will be the ones who will be deciding on this. But this does reflect the discussion that occurred in this committee, on committee structure. Representative Loffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I think in terms of looking at process, I mean, it is hard to absorb 20 pages of ideas, some of which, as you pointed out, conflict. And I think part of the tension point about how this moves forward is in your draft and in our discussion, we talked about these as recommendations. And that, to me, sort of implies an action of the committee to put a blessing or an indication of support behind them. And maybe if we aren't going to go through that weeding process, we might want to think about these as ideas or suggestions that were put forth and make it clear that there was no formal action to endorse these and that they didn't withstand, a majority vote to move forward. And that might be a way to make sure that we're clearly conveying that we recognize there's some internal conflicts that, if you implemented one, you might have to alter number nine, that sort of thing. But that might make it a little more comfortable to have this long list go forward and clearly be understood without having to go through a ranking or a voting kind of process in detail.
Representative Walker, there has not been a suggestion to do that. I have not made a suggestion to do that. I noticed that on the very front, I had said this at the beginning of the hearing, that it reflects the dates of the hearings and the topics that were covered in each of the hearings of this committee. I use the word recommendations simply as recommendations, that this committee looked at these processes, that we listened to the public, and these were the results. What happens with these isn't as a result of this committee, but it is possible recommendations for the future majority and minority in this body after the election. I think people are thinking that we're somehow going to be the ones that will be making the changes. We're simply the ones that are providing the information for possible change. And this has been serious enough that we've been doing it for a year. And that there have been problems with the process, serious problems with the process, to the point where there have been errors. And those errors have ramifications on the quality of life in Minnesota. And I would hope that we would have a process that could avoid those in the future. And if any of these assist in that, then we have been successful. But I'm not arguing about, if you want to take a vote, that's up to this committee. I would say a consensus is enough to say, we looked at these, here are recommendations, they are for the public, and they are for the leadership after the election to take a look at. Okay. And hopefully they will use some of them. Representative Loeffler.
Mr. Chairman, I wasn't encouraging us to actually vote on these. I actually think that would be pretty unwieldy. What I was suggesting is that we change the wording to ideas or suggestions rather than recommendations, because I tend to interpret the word recommendations of a committee to imply a committee action, as opposed to we collected ideas and suggestions as a that evolved out of what the process that you described. I think it's just a clear way to communicate that there wasn't that kind of voting process, which I agree would be unwieldy.
Well, I think we've made that clear from the beginning when we held these hearings. And the reason why we are having them in a standing committee, and the reason why this has been recorded and people can go back and take a look at it, is for the very reason we're discussing now, so that they understand we took this seriously. And the action that we are taking is embedded in this document to make simple recommendations. I want to make it clear, this is not a working group. This is not a listening group. This is a standing committee of the Minnesota House. And we are elected, at times, to make tough decisions. I can vote on a recommendation, or I can simply say it is a recommendation, and I don't have a problem with it. Again, it will be for the people who come after us to make decisions. But it is a recommendation. It isn't anything else. They can take it, or they cannot. I would hope they take some of it.
Representative Emmer. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, then I'm confused, because I know that it's been taken very seriously, and there's been a lot of time that's been put in, but you've just pointed out this is a standing committee of the House. This isn't a working group. I'm concerned as to how you communicate consensus, because if we're going to have a consensus, then I would suggest we take out all limitation on debate, and we'd be very careful about putting any ideas or suggestions into a document that's going to go forward that would could limit the minority's ability to present amendments as something's proceeding. How are we going to do that?
Representative Emmer, you've got the document before you. If you disagree with anything, you can make suggestions to remove it.
Well, how are we going to do that?
Mr. Chair, with a motion right now, tell us that you don't want that included, or that you want to change. Representative Kahn's already made some suggestions, and I assume that if she doesn't do it in committee, she'll make them afterwards, and we'll incorporate them.
No, that wasn't my concern, Mr. Chair, because it's kind of confusing when you say, in one respect, no votes, we're going to have something that leaves here as a consensus, but now you're suggesting that somebody make
it. Remember, I have never said there would be no votes. I'm leaving that up to the committee. If you wish to vote, that's up to you. I have said I can do it with consensus, or we can do it with votes. We've had this discussion several times. If you want to vote either on the totality of the document or on anything in particular, that is up to the committee.
Well, and I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, if I'm looking to you for the leadership as to how you wanted to do this.
Well,
we've been following that leadership, and I made it to most of these meetings.
Yes, you have.
And I've been paying attention. There are things that are of grave concern, but I think we have to somebody who's in the minority,
right?
Because you want to make sure that we all represent constituencies, and they want to make sure that their voice is heard and that there's full and fair debate on topics, and that their point of view is presented. that aside, we all have to keep an open mind, you know, and make sure that if there is something that can make the process better, we are open to understanding it and possibly moving it forward. But I've heard two different things from the chair today, and you're right, we have had this discussion in the meetings that I've been at, but I've never understood, and now we're going back and forth, is it going to be a consensus of ideas? And if so, what is a consensus? Or is it actually going to be a recommendation that moves forward to some other consideration?
Representative Hilke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To this point, I think perhaps we should consider possibility of, first of all, sending all of these recommendations that have come to this committee forward for consideration from leadership and other interested parties. But since we have in this committee had discussion about these that will not be available to people that have not participated, maybe it would be a good idea if we just sort of took a poll, you know, like if we had members who have participated just vote yes or no on each of these recommendations and pass that information along. Well, recommendation number one.
These committee hearings have been recorded, and you can video stream them and go back and take a look at anything. So if a member wasn't here or the public wasn't here, they can take a look. And the reason why I know that, I've been getting emails from people who have watched this from every hearing.
Well, as far as every recommendation, I don't think every member of the committee and the other members who have attended these meetings have expressed their own preference. And I think it might be a good idea to get an opportunity to do that.
All right. So, Representative Hilke, you would like each member of the committee or those that have attended the hearings to actually do what with each of the recommendations? What do you want them to do?
Well, there may be some more sophisticated way to do this, but I would just say, you know, we could just check yes or no to each one of them, and we could do a tally, you know.
All right.
10-4, 6 against, whatever.
Okay. You want to do that in committee?
I don't think that would be the best way to do it.
It wouldn't be my preference.
Yeah.
I have a list, so Representative Peterson, you're next.
Okay. I'm going to, for the sake of discussion, move this. I want to go to page 6, item C18. And this is the recommendation of each member writing down that this particular bill is their priority. And it concludes by saying that the chair of each committee of which a priority bill is referred must schedule a bill for hearing if there is a Senate companion. Is that practical from a mechanical standpoint to a committee that you could keep with 134 legislators that you could keep track of how many were proprietary? When you got them to a committee, you put a big stamp on them. I'm concerned about the mechanics of it, if that's practical. And if it isn't, that might not be a recommendation that we want to forward.
There are states that do it, and I think you heard this particular suggestion from a couple of members of this committee. They may not be here today, but they brought it forward. In a committee that has a large number of bills, it would be difficult to do.
Yeah.
But, again, it's a suggestion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm bringing that up as an example of, I think, what we're hearing in the discussion is, do we as a committee want to forward keep C-18 on the list or don't we? And if somebody says, yeah, I really, it's important to me, then...
Representative Horman.
Good.
Mr. Chair and Representative... Peter. Boy, I'm out of the knack. I'm by your first name. I think that it's something that would be really good to try. I mean, theoretically, you would have a large number of people introducing, for example, K-12 finance or K-12 policy bills, and you could have a situation where that chair just simply couldn't schedule all those hearings. But I think it may not shake out that way, and so that may be something that we could do on a trial basis. It would have to be, there'd have to be some language to the extent practical or on a trial basis. But I think we wouldn't know what the problems were unless we gave it a shot.
That's kind of vetting I think we needed to do today.
And there are some other, I think, significant issues. One is the constitutionality issue that's in this document. Do we really want to debate constitutionality on the House floor? And Representative Emmer, to the constitutional point?
No, to this very issue. Because that's the kind of vetting that has to go on here in this standing committee. And I hate to be the stick in the mud or the adjutant, but somebody's got to do it. If this is a standing committee, then as opposed to a working group, my understanding is it kind of changed as we went along because we brought in all kinds of people that are not actual members, sitting members of this committee. And we're talking about vetting, so does that mean now we have a consensus on that issue? I mean, how is this going to be conveyed? Because I have some very serious concerns. And again, Mr. Chairman, I'll also add, because you made the point earlier of talking about we've all been here at these meetings and we've had an opportunity. Some of us have sat back out of respect for the chair and trying to keep an open mind to hear what the ideas are and have not tried to address each point as it came up. But we do have some serious concerns. So I have a question. Is that consensus? How are we going to do this?
Representative Emmer, I would say it isn't consensus unless you have some type of a motion on it. However, the mere fact that we've discussed it and that there has been disagreement in the committee, and that is recorded, is one way of saying that the committee had it in the document, that there was discussion, there was disagreement. If you wish to take it out, it can be taken out simply by having Representative Peterson or someone say we should remove it, and if there's no disagreement, then let's remove it. If you want to take a vote, we take a vote. But if we could do it as simply as that. What we tried to do in the document is incorporate those points that were seriously presented to us, either by the public or by members. And it was done in the most systematic, deliberate way we could do it. And now we're at endgame. And it isn't easy. So,
Mr. Chair, I appreciate all the time everybody's put in and the efforts to try and make the process better. I'm simply concerned that in the direction that you're heading, you say we're at the end game.
We're at the, Representative Emmer, this committee just can't keep meeting. So I have to at some point say, this is it. We're going to stop the hearings and we'll say whatever process you want, consensus or voting, but these are recommendations. We will put them forward and we'll see what happens.
Well, and all I'll do then, Mr. Chair, so I don't belabor it as I already have, is just make a point that I don't think it's appropriate then, if you're going to call this a meeting of a standing committee of the House of Representatives, that non-members are part of this so-called consensus. You either have the committee moving something forward, or we have a working group that is doing exactly what you're saying, which is just making some suggestions.
Remember, there's been some discussion to that, and when you bring up the idea of voting, there's been a discussion that if there is a vote taken, that only members of the committee would vote. There have been discussions saying that the members who have participated, that everyone should vote if there's a vote taken. I'm open here to a point, but I also have to come to closure on this. So, Representative Emmer, if you don't like something, say what you don't like. We can have either consensus, yay or nay, or take a vote. But we have recognized that there are some problems. There are some improvements we could make. Some significant ones, I would hope. And I hope this document would reflect that. That's the goal. Representative Kahn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was going to follow up, I think, on what Representative Hilsey said. I think, and also, Emmer, I think that what we could do is I like the idea of forwarding the whole document over. These are the things that have been discussed, because it obviously points out that you can go back to the record and find more details on them. But perhaps we could just have an annotate, instead of getting into the argument of what is consensus. Consensus usually doesn't have to be unanimity. It has to mean that no one wants to file a minority report. But the I think the idea of just noting, and I think this could be done either in the committee here or by email later, where there was objection, which ones had no objection and which ones had objection. And I think that meets the idea that we're not calling a consensus document something that has no consensus and noting this.
Consensus was initially his idea. Is that where you want to go with this?
Mr. Chair, I would say that
Representative Emmer,
actually the direction.
Representative Emmer, is that a preference that you would prefer?
Do we have rules, Mr. Chairman, or don't we? What are we making them up on the fly as we go, or are we going to follow the rules that this committee has followed for 2 years?
I'm not sure the point you're making.
Well, I don't understand. The point I've been making all along is, if this is a meeting of a standing committee of the State House of Representatives that's going to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down or a non-committal to any idea that's going to be advanced to some other consideration in the future, then it should be run the way we've run it all along. If it's a working group or if it's something else, then let's say so and let everybody who's here give their thumbs up, thumbs down, call it an objection, call it an approval. That's my concern.
Well, my suggestion was actually that, you know, I think everyone here has been talking and should be and so forth. My suggestion was, if you want to record the formal objections to anything in it, that should then be limited to committee. I don't really care, but if people want to keep that formality, I can't believe that anything that's been suggested by someone who isn't a member of the committee isn't probably agreed to by at least one or more committee members, and so the objection will be raised.
Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I'm with Representative Emmer. We're here to vote, and this is, I don't think it's unwieldy. I think we've put in a lot of time here. I know I have, and many of the other people, I mean, you've left your jobs for different hours, different days, and I'm thinking I'm here to make some decisions, and I'm more of the mind that I want to be a greater stakeholder in the process. That's the whole point of doing this, because that's why I wanted to be a part of making the changes to say that we are here, we are one of 134 and we're not one of three. So I want to make sure that we have the opportunity to do that. So I guess I don't want to just dismiss what the process could be. I want us to be able to say this is an up or down vote, it's a yes or no vote. I'm more of the mind that it should be the committee that's making those votes. People who are not on the committee can have inputs and opinions, but we're here, we're part of the committee, and I think that we should go line by line and saying this is what we like, this is what we don't like, this is what we agree to. I don't think you can make a consensus in another fashion. I think you have to be able to say the majority of people on the committee agreed this was the way they'd like to see the future be and go with that. So I don't know how you get to that. I don't know if we, you know, again, we're spending time this morning just discussing the process, and this maybe is just pinnacle to what we've been doing all along, that this is, you know, kind of the dance we've been playing here doing. But, you know, I think we should go down recommendation to recommendation and say, this is what we agree to, this is not what we agree to, and we don't have a consensus, it doesn't go on.
Representative Groff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good comments, Representative Poppy. Actually, it kind of ties into some of the things I was going to say. I must be really pathetic because I'm not even a member of this committee and I show up for this. So, but Mr. Chairman and members, I guess having watched a couple of them online and having been here for a couple of meetings, in terms of consensus, here's what I've heard. This is what I believe the consensus is. I think there's agreement that people would like to see smaller committees and fewer numbers of committees. That there should be options in the rules to limit the length of the debate on the floor. That there should be increased notice. That we should decentralize the decision-making process. and that we should move forward to stop the power of three of three people from deciding everything. Those are the principles I've heard embodied in the committee. And I think that I think back to like the 90s when there was a problem at the federal level, and I'm coming full circle on this, I swear I'm going to make a point, is that when there was problems balancing the budget at the federal level, they had an amendment called, that ended up being created called Penny Kasich, where Congressman Tim Penny sat down with John Kasich from Ohio, and what they did is they just sat down, they got input from people, and they put together a package of integrated ideas. And they put it out there, and they said, you know what, here's the idea, here's the package of ideas. We understand you might like some things, you might dislike some things, but here's the package. And just take a vote on the package. Don't try to improve it. Don't try to modify it. Seek input in advance of the process. But here's your package of seven or eight ideas. Don't try to boil the ocean. Don't solve the world's problems. But here it is, and take a vote. That would be my suggestion in terms of embodying those principles. And as you stated before in a previous committee, trying to have the rules debate in 2009 be different than we saw in 07 and 05.
Representative Portman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm also a member of the Pacific Club, who's not on the committee but has attended and watched online. But the one point I would want to make, I understand Representative Emmer's point of view and Representative Poppy's point of view, and I think it would be constructive for the committee to vote on items to see where there is consensus on moving forward and where there isn't. But this is not a bill. And a bill can't be introduced until 2009. And when a bill is introduced, it will be up to the author of the bill and the other authors of the bill to put the ideas together in a form that a committee does act on and approve or disapprove or amend. So, you know, in the absence of bill language, I think that the committee's got a little bit more flexibility in how it wants to characterize things. And I think this is kind of an interesting document because it's evolving into sort of a committee report, you know, more like what you see on the federal level. And I think in this case, because there's so many ideas and there's so many options and such a small percentage of the legislature is here, it's good to move as much forward as possible because this is just the beginning of the process of changing things.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would favor a blend of the a couple of approaches here. I guess the Hortman approach and the Kahn approach, in the sense that we can forward this list as it is, but just make a notation as to which ones had an objection. We don't have to tally the number of objections or the depth or the intensity of objections. We can say this one met with one or more objections, this one did not, and that might be useful. That might be a good way to forward to the body the sense of what the committee thought without outright putting a stamp of approval on it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that Representative Simon's sort of melding approach there is about half of where I think we could go. I'm with Representative Poppy that I think that we're a standing committee of the House. Mr. Chair, you've invested a lot of time and asked us to invest a lot of time in this process, and I think that it behooves us to take a vote and to make a recommendation to make a committee report on changes that we think should be made. I think we can also then include, as an addendum or a secondary part of the report, as Representative Simon was suggesting, the other suggestions that the committee considered, but you know, did not have full consensus on, or a majority vote. I'm not sure how the word consensus has replaced the word majority vote here, but I think that it would be appropriate for this committee to take some formal action and put forward a formal report under the existing rules as a standing committee of the House to advance something.
Thank you, Mr. All right, it would appear that it's the will of the committee to move forward and to take votes where necessary. So let's start with page Representative Howell. I'm sorry, I didn't have you on my list. But
well,
maybe I should let you finish what you were just saying, because I was going to offer an amendment on page 5.
I was going to start moving on page 3 and just start moving through. Well, I'm sorry, Richard, I didn't hear all of
it. Well, Mr. Chairman, the question is, can we finish discussing
the
document and then perhaps go back and take votes on each
one? Representative Khan. So let's continue discussion and we will move back. So Representative Khan. And Representative Howells is actually first. So Representative Howells, finish what you were going to say.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't really want to discuss the whole bill. I've highlighted about 5 areas that I would like to amend, and the rest I'm satisfied with. I think it would save us time if each member had an objection to something that they could move to remove that or change that. Well, we've all had time to read this.
And what we've all discussed it. So, members, I'm going to start moving. Let's start on page 3. I'll start with
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Khan.
What if you just have questions about what something means?
Then I would state those questions as we're taking a look. So, Representative Khan, let's go to page 3. Let's go to the first section, cooperation between House and Senate, C1 through 3. Let's take a look at those three. Discussion, correction, Representative Hort.
Mr. Chair, on recommendation C3, does the language mean all hearings should be joint hearings, or just on matters where it's an overview? Or because my perspective on that was where you're doing an overview, for example, where MnDOT's presenting its budget, you have a joint hearing. But when the committee is considering particular parts of the budget, that I would want the House members and the Senate members having separate discussions on their approaches, because otherwise we should just do unicameral if they're all joint hearings.
Representative Hubbard, the sentence did not mean to have joint hearings of all committees, but there was a feeling that particularly with certain finance committees and on some of the issues toward the end of session that joint hearings would select. For instance, the Pensions Commission has come up as one example, but there were others. Okay. Representative Emmert,
I have two things. One, I just want to know as we go forward, I know we've taken input by non-committee members, but if this is the way we're going to do it, I look forward to next session when I get to go to the PAC committee and weigh in on their stuff. I would move to remove C1, C2, C3, and I would move that it be a recommendation of this committee to go to a unicameral legislature.
The motion is before the committee. Is there any discussion on Representative Emmer's motion to remove C1, C2, C3, and then make a motion to go to unicameral?
And point of clarification, not a parliamentary unicameral.
And point of clarification, not a parliamentary clarification.
Mr.
Well, that motion comes after this motion passes.
I think that's the motion. We have Mr. Shepherd here.
He's got to be in the committee 24 hours.
He's coming back. All right. Just to Representative Emmer's motion, I want to make sure that Mrs. Anderson has the motion. Do you have the motion?
Pretty simple.
All right. All those in favor of the Emmer? Yes, Representative Howes.
I hate to do this, but I'm going to. I want a roll call vote.
Oh, come.
I'm opposed to use unicameral as much as Representative Emmer supports it.
All right. Roll call has been requested. Roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll. We are under roll call, and this will be for the members of the committee. Chair votes no on the Emmer motion.
Representative Anderson, Representative Broad, Representative Emmer.
Yes.
Representative Hilty.
No.
Representative Howes.
No.
Representative Khan.
No.
Representative Kalin.
No.
Representative Morgan.
No.
Representative Nelson. Representative Olson.
No.
Representative Peterson.
No.
Representative Poppy.
No.
Representative Simon.
No.
Representative Winkler. Representative Walschlager.
No.
Pretty clear.
There being 11 nays and 1 a, the motion does not prevail. The motion is not adopted. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to address why I voted no, but also why I'll speak to these provisions at the same time.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's very important, members, to think of the history of where we've been as a state and our form of government as a nation, given that all of our states have basically followed the federal model. Historically, members, there was a reason for a bicameral system, and that reason was that one body
was elected by means of geographical region or by state, respectively at the federal level. And that, and the House and the other body was elected by popular vote. That created the that established the merits of a bicameral system. So you had one body looking out for the interest of the whole and one body looking out for the interest of the individual, and you had to compromise between those two. We have all but lost that, and it's greatly hindered our ability to govern, and it's made us more of a pure democracy, which the founders were very much against for reasons of the fact that democracies never last. True democracies never last. We are a republic, and we need to look out for the interest of the whole, of all the people, and we need to look out for the interest of the individual and mitigate between those two and work on that. The reason I don't like these provisions is it's further erosion of eliminating the merits of the bicameral system. It goes in the wrong direction. We need to go in the right direction to reestablish the merits of a bicameral system, which made us the longest standing constitutional republic in the history of the world today. So I speak against these provisions, and I would like to move that they all be removed. If I'm understanding, Mr. Chair, correctly, that we are to go through this and vote up or down on each provision.
Well, Representative Olson, I don't know how many votes will be taken. I suspect more than I anticipated. But so, Representative Olson, your motion is to do what now?
Remove them without adding any comments.
You're removing C, 1, 2, and 3.
Mr. Chair, I would move, let me back up just a little bit. I'd like to move to remove C2 and C3 because I think C1 is good in that we have the committees more aligned for better flow of legislation in both bodies without influencing the policy of them.
All right, so the motion before us is Representative Olson's to remove C2 and C3 to the motion. Representative Emmer.
I agree completely. The purpose of making a motion for a unicameral legislature is because if you are in favor of all these three, you might as well be in favor of a unicameral legislature. So where Representative Olson is going makes sense.
Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor. Representative Poppy, was it to this motion? Okay, Representative Poppy.
Okay. I am. Representative Olson made the motion that I was going to make, so I agree. I think all this right. will be a good vote.
Representative Poppy is in support of the motion. Mm-hmm. All those in favor of the Olson motion signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, nay.
No.
Motion does not prevail. Motion is defeated.
Division.
Division has been requested. Members of the committee, then, all those in favor of the Olson motion, please raise your hand. All those opposed, raise your hand.
Does it work?
Mr. Chair, is it open?
7-5, the motion is defeated. Representative Olson.
Begging your pardon, Mr. Chair. Is it appropriate for those who didn't speak up when they vote to raise their hands? Just kidding, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Olson, it is. Quite often on the floor, many members vote and they haven't spoken in weeks. So.
And many of them haven't thought in weeks either.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since I started this discussion, I am beginning to see the wisdom of your original recommendation. And I move that the body advance the committee report in its present form only as a recommendation as a result of the hearing.
The motion before us is Representative Peterson to advance the report in the form it is in as a recommendation. Representative Cox.
I guess I'd like to amend that with a notation of where there are objections. So the whole thing is advanced, but we have some process for understanding that there's a minority opinion or that there's another opinion on some of them.
All right, so we're still on the Peterson motion. Yes. Representative Peterson?
I'm making it, Mr. Chairman, because I'm living in a stage and age where I'm beginning to lose friends, and I have a very dear friend that we're going to bury at 10:30. And if we don't advance this committee, it may be me next. So I want to get this thing moving and get out of here. So that's why I'm making it.
That's the motion before us. for Representative Olson to the motion.
To the motion, Mr. Chair, and with all due respect, Representative Peterson, I just wonder what this would mean, because it seems that there's some of these provisions that really aren't necessary in the context of other provisions, and there's multiple options under certain issue areas or subjects, and it seems that if we were to do this, which I see some place in it, because if, let's say, we go through this with voting on every provision, we can have committee recommendations, but we don't know who's going to be here next time, and it can't be acted upon by the body. And I think the work is beneficial that we've done, regardless of what the outcome is here today, if we just simply recognize that these recommendations have been discussed, they have been reviewed. Does not mean we've addressed every single concern, and others may have other ideas, but to simply document that these are some recommendations that we've discussed and reviewed, and not necessarily reflect that we support all of them in this context in its entirety. If that's what this motion means, I'm a little more amenable to it, but if not, I have concern with the unnecessary characteristics of some of these provisions in the context of others.
Yeah. Further discussion of the Peterson motion.
Chairman, I did make an amendment to the motion, I thought. I proposed, let me make it in a more formal way.
Peterson motion.
I guess it would be appropriate to be noted that objections were raised to certain of the proposals. I'm kind of following what Franklin Garofalo said, that there are certain things that we kind of got some uniform agreement on, and there are other things that there are strong objections from either side, and I don't care if we do it by a vote on each one or just by a prefactory statement and so forth. It's hard, you know, I also appreciate the work that was done into this, and I don't think it's a good idea to discard things, but I'm uncomfortable. I will be uncomfortable enough so that if we pass this now before 10:30 and leave it as the recommendations of the committee, that I will certainly file a minority report.
Representative Morris.
Mr. Chair, I was wondering if it might perhaps be appropriate to help to satisfy Representative Olson's stated concerns and Representative Kahn's stated concerns and some of our others who haven't stated our concerns. If we would do perhaps, as Representative Peterson suggested, vote to move all of this forward, but as Representatives Olson and Kahn have suggested, allow others an opportunity to express in writing their objections to various pieces and perhaps other suggestions that they feel may be appropriate. I'm assuming we're going to forward this document in writing to be looked over by whatever party happens to be in leadership after the election in November, and give the group of folks who first take a look at this document the opportunity to see the input of all of us and any of us who want to contribute our concerns about whatever may be in this document. As has been said, there are some contradictory items in this document. I think many of us want something to be done and recognize that we will be voting on these rules, those of us who are here, in January or February, whether they are temporary or permanent rules, and we want some of these things, if not many of them, to be considered. So is there perhaps a mechanism by which those of us who do not agree with all of this could communicate that in addition to this committee's forwarding these recommendations, not as broad policy beliefs or statements that all of these indeed must be done?
The motion before us is the Peterson motion with the Kahn amendment to it. Now, I want to go back and make sure we understand what the Peterson motion is. So we have Mr. McCormick here. So let's go back, first of all, to the initial motion, and then to the Kahn amendment to the motion, which we would have to deal with prior to taking any formal action on the Peterson motion. So, Mr. McCormick, can you help us with the initial motion with Mr. Peterson, Representative Peterson's motion?
Mr. Chair, my understanding is that Representative Peterson is moving that the committee
adopt the committee report as drafted in front of you as a report of the committee to forward to the body. And my understanding is that if that's done, the entire report would move forward. If you note on the opening statement, at the final hearing on August 15, 2008, the committee recommended that the 2009 legislature consider certain changes in the legislative process. It doesn't recommend that the legislature adopt any particular suggestion, just that they all be considered. My understanding that if you adopt the Kahn Amendment, that we would seek a process to add in section by section, recommendation by recommendation, a notation of any discussion, debate, or objections to those processes. And I would suggest that there be two ways for us to add those to the report. First, in the existing hearings, as a number of these have been debated, we have made notes, and we can go back and, for example, say, item C-17, objections were raised as to the workability of this. And then secondly, it would be possible for the chair to ask each member to, in addition, restate or newly state any objections they have. I wouldn't expect that we would go down member by member. We wouldn't say Representative Emmer objected to this, unless someone strongly said, "I would like my name to be used." We would just say something generic, like, "The committee raised objections on these points." The next step, then, I just think that it might be useful if I outline what normally would happen, is that an election would happen. And after the election, typically, some sort of ad hoc committee would be appointed, chaired by the prospective new head of the Rules Committee, to draft actual rules. And they would pick up this document, and they might ask for testimony from members generally or from the chair. And then they would bring together a package representing what that group wanted to the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee would debate and accept amendments to that package and come out with an actual draft proposed rules for the Minnesota House as amended by the Rules Committee in public hearings. That would arrive on the floor. It would be presented with strikeouts and underlines from the existing rules so that you could see where changes were proposed. Typically, the chair of the Rules Committee would move to adopt that package entirely. Amendments would then be taken on the floor, and those amendments would be adopted or rejected. So I think that outlines, hopefully, what the Peterson Amendment would do, how we would implement the Kahn Amendment to that motion, and then where this would go from there. I hope that helps.
So the motion before us is the amendment to the Peterson motion, the Kahn Amendment. Representative Kahn, does Mr. McCormick articulate what you would like to have happen should your amendment be adopted to the Peterson?
Yes, and to simplify it, I don't think it would have to be attached to each point. I think it could be an appendix, for example, which would that not interfere as much with this.
Representative Emmer, this is to the Kahn Amendment.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. But for Mr. McCormick, why can't we just have a memo? Why would it be as formal as you've described?
Mr. Chair, we could make it a little less formal. We could, for example, just craft a section to be put somewhere in the report that said objections were raised to a number of these provisions and list them. So you're right. We could write it a number of different ways. We wouldn't have to make it as formal as I outlined, unless the members of the committee wanted.
President Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the Kahn Amendment, I think in the absence of actually doing a tally, as I suggested initially, I think what we would find is that virtually all of these someone would object to. And I don't really see the point. If we're going to advance this, I think we should just advance it with it being clear that these were just items that were raised for discussion and that there is very likely none or very few of the recommendations that there is consensus on or that everyone supported unanimity on, at least. So I don't see the point in saying someone objected to this. I as we saw just trying with the first three here, I think if we went through every one of these, we wouldn't find a single one that somebody didn't have some objection to.
Well, yep, Representative Tilty, I agree with you. Representative Con.
I'd just say there's a difference between an 11-1 vote and a 5-7 vote somehow.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative
Peter. No, I hate to bring these mathematical considerations.
I think if Representative Con, I think she made a statement that either the itemized or that there was a statement that just suggested, or Representative Hilby is saying, that there are probably some people concerned about any one of them. So it's conveyed in that way. And if it was worded in that way, I would just accept it as a friendly amendment.
Yeah. Representative Poppy is next.
Thank you. There are people on this side as well that want to engage in this discussion. So I appreciate being recognized. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to oppose the Con Amendment because of what Representative Hilty said. I don't know how, if we don't discuss in committee, how do we know the strength of the opposition to any provision, and why would we do it by memo rather than... I know that people spend a lot of time here, but this is what we're doing. We're trying to come up with the final product, whatever that product is. I guess I would have really appreciated just going through the rules and actually doing a whole new set of rules and saying this is what we would recommend. But this is what we've come up with, and this is how we're going to do it. But I think that what we need to do is either we do this and take it and say this is the recommendation or the suggestions or the ideas or the whatever that we have before us, or we go through and under each category say we've taken a vote and we support this or oppose it. And so I guess I'm going to speak in opposition to the Con Amendment.
Representative Simon, who is on the other side of the room.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to go back to something that Representative Loeffler said at the beginning of the committee, and I think maybe that's part of the hang-up here. On page one, the cover page of the entire draft here, maybe in the bottom paragraph, starting with the second sentence, because I should say, I think Mr. McCormick explained it well, that the first sentence of that final paragraph says the committee recommended that the 2009 legislature consider certain changes in the legislative process. But then thereafter, maybe the word recommendations should be, we should substitute the word changes. Those changes are listed in this report. The changes in this report come from ideas suggested, et cetera, et cetera. The word recommendation seems to have a certain connotation that some members have objected to. It sounds like endorsement of, when that's not really the case. So I don't know procedurally, Mr. Chair, how this should happen, and maybe Representative Peterson will consider that a friendly amendment. I leave to others moving specific language, but that might help us here, I think.
Representative Simon, Mr. McCormick has been working on that paragraph for about 15 minutes at our direction to make some modifications in it along your line. So he may have crafted something.
Mr. Chairman, I can make a very simple set of suggestions for the last paragraph.
Mr. McFarland.
At this final hearing on August 15, 2008, the committee recommended that the 2009 legislature consider certain changes in the legislative process. Those changes are listed in this report. The changes in this report come from the ideas suggested from a variety of sources, House members, lobbyists, and members of the public. Where practical, this report includes sample language, changes in House rules that could be considered to implement the recommendations. But you could add one more sentence if you would like, and it would say something along the lines of, the ideas in this report were discussed but not formally adopted in committee.
Representable. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would speak in favor of that last sentence to be added, but also to recommend that after the word implement on the current final sentence, implement rules reforms. It's a little more neutral to the context of what we're doing, or more specific.
But the motion before us is still the Con motion to the Peterson Representative Hilty.
Well, Mr. Chair, I was more to the to the point made by Representative Simon, I was actually going to move after we defeated the Conn Amendment to simply substitute the word suggestion for a recommendation wherever it appears in this document.
Representative Hilton, to some extent, I think Mr. McCormick is doing that with the last paragraph, but that could be an extension of it. Any further discussion to the Conn Amendment to the Peterson motion? Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the Conn Amendment to the Peterson motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
Motion does not prevail. The motion is not adopted. We now have the Peterson motion before us.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Peterson.
My motion would include the suggested text by just offered.
Since Representative Peterson is including that, I would like to have Mr. McCormick go over again. And I think it was Representative Olson suggested that that last sentence you had crafted be added. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. McCormick, if you are ready to read that final paragraph that now would become, in essence, the Peterson motion, if you could read that for us, please.
Mr. Chairman, members, the paragraph would now read, at its final hearing on August 15, 2008, the committee recommended that the 2009 legislature consider certain changes in the legislative process. Those changes are listed in this report. The changes in this report come from ideas suggested from a variety of sources, House members, lobbyists, and members of the public. Where practical, this report includes sample language changes in House rules that could be considered to implement the changes. The ideas in this report were discussed but not formally adopted by the House Committee on Governmental Operations, Reform, Technology, and Elections.
Representative Olson, is that the sentence that you'd wanted added?
Mr. Chair, thank you. It is, and it's not a big deal, but I just thought instead of implement the changes, it just should be something more general about rules reform. But that's fine.
Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to speak in opposition to the Peterson Amendment. I do think that this goes back to, do we just put all the noodles, pick them up and throw them at the wall, or do we actually kind of select which ones we really want to stick? And I would remind the committee that I think with our first discussion about the length of debate on the floor that we had even during session about the importance of restraint and self-control, and I don't think we need to adopt them or discuss in great depth the merits of every single suggestion. I think we could probably plug through this and be out of here in an hour and a half or 2 hours. I think we've had a very thorough discussion. Mr. Chair, I think you've done a fine job of structuring the discussion to this point, and I think that we can leave here with a formal action. I hope that the committee will do that.
Any further discussion to the Peterson motion? Representative Olson and then Representative Kahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Specifically to the motion, if I understand correctly, my concern with this is that either way we go, my concern is that if we weren't going to take the Peterson approach and we actually adopted these, went through them point by point, provision by provision, it does not necessarily reflect on the next legislature and would have less possible impact because the next legislature, this committee would be different, they'd bring it up for review, it automatically come back here, and it could all change. But our work, I don't think, is in vain. I think it's fruitful. I think it's good if we document what we've done. So I see some merits to Representative Peterson's approach. However, I see a lot more merits if we do something with this to make sure the dialogue continues. And to that, I would just like to leave a suggestion. I'm not an advocate of blogs because I find very little truth on them, with so many people being able to put stuff out there without their name attached to it, and there's very little accountability. But if we had an in-house blog on this document where we could continue the dialogue, which probably really wouldn't happen until after the election, and then the entire body could be a part of it, and everybody would see different members' thoughts on these provisions. It would be like one big committee of the whole, and these
rules affect everybody, and the issue really shouldn't be entirely framed and dictated to the body before it gets there, like is so often the case. It sounds a little different, maybe, but I think it would be some good dialogue to document if we were to just create a document that people could enter on the web and share their thoughts as we continue forward. Now, I'm just going to leave that as a suggestion. I'm not going to make a motion to that effect at this point. I'll leave it as a suggestion for members to consider as we consider Representative Peterson's motion. I think this document has a lot of work that needs to be done, and it really needs to be done by the next legislature. And to make our work more fruitful, that's my suggestion.
Representative Kahn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, question, procedural question. Do we pass the Peterson motion and then adjourn? Is that the point?
Representative Kahn, not necessarily. The Peterson motion, I mean, we could continue with discussion, but the Peterson motion would be the prevailing motion of the document.
Well, you know, I have questions about some of these. I brought up some of the reasons, you know, for why something was done, and was thinking about why, you know, are we that sure that we want to reverse these without discussing what the reasons were. I just noticed on the first page in C2, where you give the example of the pension commission is a good example. One of the problems, if you've noted, the pension bills have come after the deadline every year for at least the last couple of sessions. The reason is that the pension commission has no time to meet during session because you can't find a time that it's, you know, you can't, when following all of these things and it, bill deadlines and all this stuff that happens, you can't ever find a time. And so it's just been decided that the pension bill has to pass, the rules committee will pass it, so it won't meet until after deadline. And I know, you know, in this group, I'm the only member of the pension committee here who can talk about this. You also talk about using the pension commission to avoid conference committees, and I'll point out that the pension commission has always had a conference. Pension bill has always had a conference committee. So, you know, there are other things like this blanket get rid of, bring back general orders. Well, again, I don't remember how many people were here who when we had general orders and then we got rid of it, but there were reasons for getting rid of it. And one of the reasons was that any important bill that we did was always done without going through general orders. So why is general orders then only necessary for the unimportant bills? There's another one here which says that an amendment suggested a bill may not annex another. That used to be a rule. We got rid of that rule because a very good way of killing an amendment, if you expected an amendment to be offered, was that you just immediately wrote up a bill that had, you know, again, this is usually more accepted, more available to the majority than minority, but you wrote up a bill that had, that was the exact language of the amendment and put that and introduced that, so then that was an effective way of killing, you know, killing the amendment, at least the simple ones. And so I'm not sure what the point, you know, I think that there should be discussion of some of these unless everyone agrees that I'm the only one concerned about them, and then we don't have to. You know, the limits on amendments, for example, I think I side with Emma and Olson on that. This is the designation of a bill that can't be amended. Congress does this, and it's an extremely abusive process in terms of cutting off discussion. And the fact that, you know, even though I agree that most of the serious work should be done in committee, there is, you know, the floor is also supposed to be a working body of the House. And there are people who are not on the committee who don't have any ability to offer amendments or discuss them. You know, I have questions about, I think probably also agreeing with Representative Emmer on the limitation on debate, what that means. Does the time that you count for debate also include the presentation of the bill? This doesn't say that. Should we have discussion about whether that, you know, whether that should... And should you there are bills that are more difficult to present and other ones that are fairly simple. And if debate time includes the presentation on the bill and the author has an unlimited time to present the bill, that clearly cuts down anything else that will happen to it.
And, you know, maybe people on this committee all want those things to happen. But I would at least like to note that there were, you know, that there are some reasons to object to these things which are just given in a blanket statement that general orders should be abolished. Does that mean it really should be abolished? That means you don't have any special orders at the end of the session? Or what?
Representative, none of these are going to be resolved in this committee.
Yeah.
None. These are simply suggestions. And we have a refined version of the Peterson motion. Representative Peterson.
Just to speak in behalf of the motion, again, going back full circle, we can argue with the content of each bale. All we're doing is advancing the wagon.
Representative Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just, I certainly agree with Representative Peterson. I think there's parts of this that has subjective language rather than objective language, which I'm profoundly concerned about. I think there's contradictory language I'm concerned about. I think there's suggestions I just simply don't agree with that I'd like to see taken out. But I guess I'm going to support the motion only because I need to have some sense of closure. And I hope it is a bridge that goes somewhere rather than nowhere, that we actually are going to take this and when we're back in January, we can be discussing this, and I'll certainly be much more keenly aware of the rules debate and how we're going to do that and want to, again, be a stronger stakeholder. I think that was a part of why we came together. We wanted to do that. But I'm not sure that's the most satisfactory way of closing this out, because I really would want to, actually, Representative Kahn, I wanted to go to everyone and talk about it and have a vote. That's not likely that's going to happen. We're not going to be doing that. So I think that we need to move ahead and find at least some amount of closure. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion to the Peterson motion. All those in favor of the Peterson motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Chair is in doubt. All those in favor of the Peterson motion, raise your hands. All those opposed? Five. There being seven in favor and five against, motion fails. Peterson motion is adopted.
Chairman, I would move that as the recommendation is forwarded, it reflects the numbers of the vote.
Representative Kahn, that will be noted. We can put that on the document. Further discussion. Seeing no further discussion, I want to thank all of the members, including those members who were not members of the committee. I also want to thank Mrs. Anderson for her work this summer. Our page today, Ms. Lincheski, it's very nice of you. We hadn't had a page. Mr. Malander for all of his work. Mr. Shepherd and Mr. McCormick, House staff, House Revisor staff, research, did a tremendous job on this document. And the Chief Clerk's Office also, thank you very much. And members, remember these are suggestions. We'll see what happens afterwards. Representative Morgan has a motion.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the minutes of Thursday, July 10, and Monday, July 28.
Yes. Representative Morgan moves the minutes. Any further discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Members, with that, meeting is adjourned.